Welcome to Mrigashira, a podcast that communicates with communicators. In our podcast today, we will be speaking with Mr. Vinayak Sharma, Vice President Marketing, Fieldcrops at Stateworks International Private Limited. Thank you so much for speaking with us, Mr. Sharma.
Thank you so much, Anisha.
Mr. Sharma, first question. How can an effective communication strategy boost the prospects of sustainable farming in India, and why is it so important to communicate the idea of sustainable farming?
Anisha, let's dissect this question into two parts. First, you know, it's very important to understand when we talk about farming. One part is farming sustainability, and then we will come to the effective communication strategy part. See, when we say farming, farming is not only restricted to the crops, the cultivation of crops. Even, when you talk about crops, there are multiple crops, cereal, oil, seed, pulses, vegetables. Then, you know, farming also includes the dairy, which is, you know, the cattle and other animals. Then there is a horticulture, there is a fishery. So put together, all together is a part of, you know, farming. And when we talk about farming, so there are, you know, when we talk about sustainability in farming, say in agriculture crops, so there are a variety of factors like, you know, the integrated pest management. There can be soil management, crop management, water management, disease pest management, and waste management. So there are many factors. So first of all, you know, there is a need when we say effective communication strategy. So there is a need to understand the concerns of the farmer. What are the farming issues? What are their concerns? And then also within those, what are the areas of attention? So where we need to focus when we are, you know, planning an effective communication strategy. The third important piece which I feel is the timing of communication. So put together all this, then the very important part is the modus of communication, whether it will be oral, pictorial, video, how it can be effective at a farmer level. Finally, coming to the final step of, you know, the effective communication strategy is the comprehensive approach. It cannot be, you know, the one part private is working separately, government is working separately, NGOs are working separately. See, in that case, the farmer will be, thrown with lot of variety of information. So there has to be some linkages. If we can create that, if we can work with multiple stakeholders, put together, prepare an effective, you know, communication. So that will be helpful to the farmer. The second piece, it should not be like, as I said earlier, on the specifics.
Right. So you're saying that we need a review system as well, and we need a lot of stakeholders to come in together. Disparate attempts will not get the message across. So what in your view should be the right approach to reach out to farmers, especially when experts believe that even geo-based targeting is not fetching the desired results?
If you see India as a terrain, when we are talking about, you know, the approach to the farmer, we really need to understand the complexities of, the farmer or in agriculture. So there is lot of diversity in farming. If we talk about, you know, the data, the studies say, majority of our farmers are marginal and small farmers. It's not a small number. 62% in a survey, the government survey says they are marginal farmers, means they have less than 1 hectare of land. Then small farmers are again close to 20%, which is a land not more than, you know, 2 hectares. So there is 80% plus, you know, farming community which is actually having less than 2 hectares of land. Again, the next complexity is the cultivation practices or the crop diversity. We have more area under cereal crops. There are variety of cereal crops, pulses, oil seeds. Then we have lesser area under vegetable and horticulture crops. We have multiple sowing seasons, like, you know, the rainy season, which is Kharif, then post-rainy, which is Rabi. Then we have in between summer or spring crops. Also, you know, the irrigation levels are not so high. Mechanization is not up to that level. Technology penetrations are not good. So put together, you know, when we talk about, you know, approach to the farmer. So these are the factors which are actually should be taken into account, because we have a very, very complex kind of, you know, the farming setup which is existing in our country. The lands are small. See, earlier what we used to do before this geotagging or technology, it was a typical, you know, pen-pencil approach. The data which was coming from the field, given by the people who are operating at the ground level or in the field. So they would be sharing, and we are working on that data, and we started creating, you know, the different approaches basis that data. But if I share my personal experience of geotagging, which we have recently done in one of the crops, which is largest crop, and it has 95% of hybridization. When we say, I mean, the crop, it's one of the largest crops existing in our country. I can name the crop, it's cotton. So, you know, when we did this geotagging, so there was lot of, you know, complexities which we found. Now, geotagging is a accurate data saying that these are the villages, they have this crop existing, and these are the acreages in this particular geography. But when we found the administrative details of, because this data has somewhere linkages to the administrative details which are available on some government on or some other, you know, the platform. So when we related it to the ground reality, so there were differences also which were existing. Like, say, I mean, the administrative data will take panchayat as, you know, the one village. But this panchayat may be covering 2-3 sub-villages, also the small villages who doesn't have the, you know, the panchayat, independent panchayat. So that is where, so there are, you know, lot of, you know, differences which came, village as a unit. Then also, you know, further, when we say approach to the farmer, it is not that entire village is my targeted village. There can be further segmentations, basis land acreages, basis crop, and within crop there can be, you know, the early maturity, the late maturity, there can be, you know, the variations in lot of, you know, other technical grounds. So there is a complexity which is existing. So when we say we have to prepare an approach, I would say still the geotagging, the geo-based, you know, technologies, these are still workable, because these are some authentic technologies. But we should have patience and perseverance to, you know, reconcile the data for practical use.
Right. Now, Doordarshan used to have Krishi Darshan, agri-based shows. But new media platforms do not offer such programs or products, you know. What we have now is a lot of agriculture experts with their YouTube channels sharing their experiments and opinions. There's always a question of credibility here. So how do you encourage mainstream media to produce credible yet interesting shows that benefit farmers?
This is actually very interesting and very good question. You know, I completely understand, because I have seen the days, the younger age was completely on Doordarshan, so I could see the Krishi Darshan and some of the programs which were very, very useful. But now, you know, with the pension in on the media platforms, and there is a literally, you know, completely, there are social media, there are other media. So let me be very honest, it is customer who will decide the channel. It's not like the channel will decide the customer. Okay, they can develop, create their programs, and then keeping in mind that which is the consumer or the audience which they wanted to address. But first of all, coming back, you know, rural is a very, very important landscape, and I don't believe that any of the industry, including media, can literally, you know, go away, you know, from the rural, because the mass exists there, whether it is in terms of population or in terms of, you know, the further the customer base. So there is a lot of people who are existing in rural areas. So some of the, you know, coming back to the question, so why this credibility issue is arising? So why, you know, the information is not all the way wrong. The information is correct. What people are sharing on YouTube, on Facebook, on some of the other medias, it is all the way, it is correct. But still, you know, there is an element of doubt whether the person, you know, talking on those channels is really making sense, or, I mean, if I'm in a real need being a farmer, I may adopt some, but I may not be completely believing that. You are absolutely, you are, I mean, pointing it out right. But I'll just share one of my example where, you know, I interacted with the farmers, and being into marketing for a long time with 29 years of my career, so there was certain notion, strong biasness in my mind that, okay, these are the areas, these, you know, advertisement media, these van campaigns, farmer connect activities, these are really, you know, workable things for branding, promotion, connecting, approaching and communicating with the farmer. So one is clearly that there should be an involvement of a user farmer, the who has experience, who has himself tried the technology, that will be really, really value addition to any program which is, you know, working around farming. So that will make sense. That is where the interest of farmer will be high, and the whatever, you know, the information provided, the adoption will be equally high. The second which I see is, you know, the location of conversation when you are designing a program is very, very important. The things in studio, the things in live in field, there is a big difference. So when you're talking in the field, showing technology, experience, farmer and the adopter right in front of, you know, the field. So there will be a lot of, you know, genuinity in the content, and there will be lot of impact of that content. The third is, I mean, the geography also matters. So putting together all this, I mean, creating a program where a user case is there, a live demonstration, if that can be shown, also the relevance of the technology, and thirdly, the timings, I think, put together, this can create an effective program.
Right. The government has understood the role of information and communication technology in agriculture for sustainable agriculture farming. Right? And, you know, we are seeing a lot of startups also reaching out to the farmers using innovative communication techniques. So what role do you see for startups in this area? And you had said that, you know, stakeholders need to come together. How did this aggregation happen?
Yeah, see, there is a lot of data which is available as well as, you know, agriculture, farming or things are concerned, and every company, government organization, NGOs, they all have this data, and it is available on public and private domains. But this data has lot of, you know, asymmetry, and there are lot of gaps, and it is lying as, you know, different heaps or different bunches of data which is not talking to each other. So that is where a very, very important, see, as a seed company person, I may pick the data of my choice and start using it. Somebody else comes from crop protection, he may pick data of his choice, he will start working on that. So likewise, you know, different stakeholders, they pick data of their choice and they start working, and things are going fine and we are utilizing that data. But I tell you, that is where startups has efforts are already started. When I'm saying, I'm suggesting, I have seen quite a few steps has already been taken in these areas. So startups can, you know, work on three, they can be one point solution. So if I say where they can start, they can do data aggregation, they can create data symmetry, and they can work on knowledge dissemination. So these are the three clear-cut areas where startups can really, you know, create a differentiation. So when they are working on this, so first of all, they will be, you know, compiling the data, they will be creating it as a one-point solution. So that is one area where I could see startups has a really, you know, a big space to play. The second could be, you know, there is a lot of market research which is happening. So one is the organized market research, which is a big one, taking more time. But there are lot of, you know, small, we call it as dipstick studies. So basically these are consumer behavior studies, which are more relevant, more sharpened, more focused around key areas. So these are the two. One is, I mean, in terms of aggregating data, making a symmetry around it, and then knowledge dissemination, working with different stakeholders, and also secondly the small market researches which can give insights to, you know, the different stakeholders for their corrections or for their, you know, some of the things which they can take forward. So these are the two key areas where I see apart from this, there are technology interventions, digital and other things, but ultimately the entire thing will be focused around these areas.
You spoke of digital profiling of farmers and the use of QR code is such an initiative that has gained quite a lot of attention in the post-COVID-19 world. So what are the other steps that industry has taken or can take to ensure that customers and end consumers are also assured of best quality of food?
Yeah, see, if I understand, see, when you're talking about QR code, so you are hinting at traceability of the product, right? So, there are still, you know, we are at a very, very niche stage as far as, you know, traceability is concerned, but still we have traveled a good, journey around it. So, if I say the three segments clearly like exports, organic foods and contract farming. The three areas I could clearly, these are the high value areas where I could see the traceability is really applicable and we can find. I can share my personal experience. I bought a honey, organic honey, which is very, very specified kind of honey. And I can trace on that the farmer who provided that honey is sitting somewhere in Haryana. His name, his village, everything is mentioned there. So there are very specialized products, high value products where we have attained, you know, traceability. But still, again, you know, coming back what we discussed in earlier questions. So some of the, you know, complexities of our agriculture business, like cereal crops. I said 80% farmers are having less than 2 hectares of or up to 2 hectares of land. So how to develop a single tool which can really help, you know, a traceability to those, you know, smaller levels is a challenge at this point of time, but things are working around. I could see, I mean, some of the efforts, some of the Tata products where pulses are being sold, some of the, you know, people, some of the companies are selling wheat flour, some other food items where traceability to an extent has been, you know, created. So it's not possible independently. I think joint efforts by private sector in terms of, we see contract farming they are doing, but largely when we talk about cereals where purchase is happening at a different level, so how we can create a linkages. So some of the things, even in our business, like in seed, we create traceability. My farmer can, but traceability, we are linking it to genuineness. So farmer can, click on my barcode and find out whether the product is genuine or not. So like this, some efforts are, small efforts are going on. So, but still we have to exert more. But one more area which I could clearly see, the blockchain technology, which can be really helpful in the coming days. So those, they can create right at this point of time, a small efforts has been made. So, I mean, but I think this will really explode and this will be really helpful. The blockchain technology will be really helpful to, you know, to develop more of this traceability in as far as, you know, food business is concerned.
Right. Let's hope we will have startups that will take up the blockchain opportunity to get that transparency and information in for customers to be able to track the quality of products and farmers also to be assured that they will get appreciation for the product. Thank you so much, Mr. Sharma, for joining us and sharing with us your views on sustainable farming and the right communication strategy that is required for this. It's a pleasure to have you with us. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Anisha.
Hope you enjoy listening to Megashira, a podcast for communication folks. Do share your suggestions and feedback on megashira@digitales.co.in. Have a great week ahead and don't forget to tune in next week. Till then, adios.